The best thing that I am a part of is the church.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Because the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, the Bible says.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
And see, we can look and see some things that the world doesn't know.
Amen.
Amen. Because God has given us insight into things that the world denies.
Yes.
But we know the real answer. Amen. I moved them around, put them in my other pocket. I'm up here nearer and nearer abject blindness without my readers here. But we do thank God for that. Even that will pass. This too.
Yes. Oh, yes, it will
pass. Amen.
Yes, it will.
Yeah, there'll come a day when we'll be able to see. The Bible says the blind shall see.
Amen.
Amen. So even if you can't see it all now, don't let that worry you.
That's right.
If you got anything missing or broken or destroyed or torn or dysfunctional or however you want to call it, you do not have to worry about it later on. God's going to fix it all.
Oh, yes,
amen. That's a kind of a profound question when you think through it. And people sometimes have a tendency to get anxious and wonder, well, why come God won't do it now?
Mm-hmm.
And he can do it now.
Yes, he can.
Not like a problem. That's why Jesus came to show you that, yes, I can do it now.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But I'm saving it for a time in the future because I have a bigger problem to fix than what you realize.
Yes.
The problem that he has to fix is bigger than just what we're going through at this particular time. Amen.
Amen.
It's a big, serious problem that belongs to the whole creation.
Amen.
And he says, I'm going to fix it all.
My Lord.
And not only that, but time to me, what is time to me? Time is nothing. It's a drop in the bucket.
Yes.
You see? But it's something that I have made for you.
Yes.
And so time is a form of God's mercy.
That's it.
For me and you.
Amen.
See what I'm saying?
Amen.
Because God has given us time. And the reason is he has said so in his word that it's not his desire that any should perish.
Any should perish.
But that all should come to repentance.
Yes.
And all should come to the knowledge of the truth. See, so God is giving men time, those who reject him. And he's giving the church time. You and I have time to interact with those that are lost or have rejected the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And let them know that was the mission that he sent the church on.
Yes.
Is to go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations.
Mm-hmm.
Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, he said.
Yes.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he said, lo, I am with you all the days.
All the
is what,
the,
what it says there over there, literally.
Mm-hmm.
That means always.
Yes.
Because that's
Amen.
All the days, right? Same another
Amen.
Way of saying always.
Amen.
Except God is saying all the days.
Yes.
And I like that better in one sense. It's because that means this day here, God say, I got it.
Yes.
I got that day, Fisher.
Yes.
You can handle what's going on in this day.
Yes.
You know, that's why he say when you pray, pray what? Give us what? This day.
This day.
Our daily bread. See?
Yes.
So God say, I'm with you and I am. When is that? Right now.
Right. Amen.
He says, I am. That's right now.
Yes.
See? So right now, I am.
My Lord.
He's saying, I mean, right now, where you need me now, I am.
I am.
I'm here. See? Where you need me tomorrow, I am.
Yes.
He's there too. Did you need me yesterday? I am. He didn't say I was.
That's right.
He just is the eternally existing I am.
That's right.
The great I am, it says there, you know.
It's omnipresent.
And so he's there all the time. We don't have to worry. He said, lo, I am with you all the days.
Yeah.
So I am. I'm right in the midst with you.
Lord.
See? And so as you are going into the world, teach.
Yes.
All the nations. So we thank God that he has allowed us to be a teaching ministry.
Yes.
Amen. The whole focal point of my ministry personally as a minister of the gospel is teaching. And I don't have to worry about that because it's not about me. I'm not teaching what thus saith Landis Fisher.
Yes.
I'm teaching what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
And if I teach it with that accuracy, then it's right. It's flawless. My message is flawless, not because of me, but because I hold up what thus saith the Lord.
That's right.
Now, if I get out of the book now, that's not God, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm in the book, we're talking about what thus saith the Lord.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Amen. And there is no flaw, no error, no mixture of error, the Bible says, what we believe about the Bible. You know, that it's truth with no mixture of error. It's
That's
inerrant
right.
in all of its parts.
Yes, it is.
And it's infallible. It
That's
cannot
right.
be changed.
Amen.
See? And the only time the Bible uses the word infallible is to talk about the proof of the resurrection. Did you know that? It doesn't say, for example, what some of the church says, that the Pope is infallible. Well, the scripture doesn't say that.
Oh,
it says
right.
The proof of the resurrection is infallible,
yes.
And that God's word is infallible.
That's right.
Amen. So if you say something that violates God's word, then you know we can understand that if you make up anything that contradicts or invalidates God's word, then you're on slippery territory.
Don't add or take away.
You know, and he said, do not add or take away. So we're going to stay right in the book. So
yes. As
we approach the season of Thanksgiving in America, we want to just say thanks, happy Thanksgiving to all of you.
Yes.
And we thank God for you, everyone here in the congregation. And people who will hear this message remotely via the internet or however else you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was even looking into finding out what it takes for us to be on iHeartRadio. How many computer heads? We don't have a lot of necessarily computer heads. We have a few here today who know about computers. iHeartRadio is internet radio.
Okay.
And all you have to do is have material so often. I have someone checking that to find out how we can be on internet radio.
Mm-hmm.
That means it's similar to being on the web, except iHeartRadio is an app you can put in your phone, and you can put it in your tablet, you can put it in your computer, and you can actually hear streaming audio from as long as you have a sufficient archive, and I think we do because our archive goes back to 2003 on teachingbible.org. So people can select stuff, and we'll have to see what it takes to do that. And I'm looking into that. I have someone looking into it just to make another way for you to hear the word.
All right.
We want to make as many ways possible
yes.
for as many people as possible to hear the word.
Amen.
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 And so the internet is good for that. It's a good way to do foreign outreach and local.
Mm-hmm.
Because anywhere. In fact, I think Sister Hope talked to Julia down in Alabama, and they said they had just listened to our message from last week on the internet with their guest in Alabama. So I said, good, praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
And so we have ways to connect people to the word, and that's what we like to do. Amen. So we're going to look today here in, you know, we took a turn from our course in the book of Romans
mm-hmm.
for a special set of holiday messages and to deal with some of the stuff going on in the politics and a lot of stuff around us. Just want to give the saints the kind of information I think they need
All right. During
times like these. And so that's the reason why we did that. And we'll get back to Romans pretty soon after the holidays. Amen?
Yes, amen.
But for now, we're going to look at this special series of lessons. And this one that I want to talk with you about today will be called, let's say it's going to be found with the shortest of the Psalms. This is the shortest chapter in the book of the Psalms, and maybe one of the shortest ones in the Bible.
Mm.
Psalm 117, this is the entire Psalm. You may not think, you might have thought I cheated you there. But if you check, you'll find out this is the entire 117th Psalm. And then we're going to look again in the Epistle to the Colossians, as we did on last week. We're going to overlap a little from verse 19 down to 29. In the New Testament. So I'm going to have someone go ahead and share with us the reading of the word, and then we will talk about a subject here. Amen. So we'll have Brother Martin read for us the Old Testament, and Brother Douglas can read for us the New Testament, both from the King James translation. Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you never heard a psalm so short, have you?
Right.
Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Amen. Now for the New Testament.
For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, every creature which is, I'm sorry, Colossians 1:24,
mm-hmm.
who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which have been hid from age and from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles,
mm.
which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily.
Amen. We've heard Colossians 1:19-29 from the KJV. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Let us have a word of prayer. Eternal God, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt you, O God. We thank you for your holy word. Thank you for your son. Thank you for this church and church family, O God. And we pray that you bless each one of us, O God, with ears to hear and a heart to understand. We pray for our families, O God, and all of our children, relatives, neighbors, co-workers, enemies, whoever they are, Lord. And we ask that you bless, O God, give us more understanding, more grace, more mercy. Forgive us, O God, for every transgression. Let the words of our mouths be a blessing, O God, as we speak when we go forth in your name. And Father, we pray that you give us boldness to speak the mystery of the gospel as often as possible. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Bless your word this morning as it goes forth. And we ask it in the righteous name of your son, Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
To him be glory and dominion right now in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to talk just a minute here this morning, a little while, on the subject of if God is pleased, what about you?
All right. All right.
Amen. If God is pleased, what about you?
All right.
Amen. Just take that just for a topic to hang your thoughts on. And what I want you to see here today, Psalm 117, as I mentioned, is the shortest of the Psalms, definitely, maybe the shortest chapter in the Bible. I don't think there's any chapters with less than two verses. There could be. If there is, I don't think so at this point. But Psalm 117 is very brief, but I want you to look at the subject matter of it. In Psalm 117, you see, this is a psalm that says, oh, praise the Lord. And you think it would say, all you Jews. Since it's a Jewish psalm, so to speak, it was written in the Psalter here. And it said, but what does it say? All ye nations. And the word translated here, nations, is the word goyim, which I want to tell Brother Dotson, I mentioned that word to him before. And it's normally translated Gentiles. But it just means the nations other than Israel is what it really means, which is Gentiles, if you really flip that on its head. It says, praise him, all ye people. That means there are people everywhere, of every type. So I just wanted you to see that's a universal command to praise the Lord, everyone. See that no matter who you are. And it's critical for you to see that when you want to try to understand the impact of the gospel on the world. The Jews had these type of things in their scripture, but they didn't acknowledge them many times. They thought that this is only for Jews, the chosen people. But here you see it right in the psalm very plainly. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. All ye. That means every one of you.
Yes.
That's you all, we would say. Nations. That's why I picked the King James so you could see these ye. That ye is the plural for you, and it means all of you. We say you, and I can be talking to just you, or I can say you and be talking to all of you, so you don't know which one I'm talking to, except by my own emphasis, inflection, or something like that. King James made that where you could know that he's talking to a plural you, all of you. With that ye, that's what ye means, that's the plural of you. And so he says, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, that means every one of them, praise him, all ye people. See that? For his merciful kindness is great toward us. Now he includes himself with the nations. See that? So now you have Jews and Gentiles included in that psalm, and I wanted you to see that. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. So the truth of the Lord is for who? It's for everybody. See that? And praise ye the Lord. Who needs to praise God?
Everybody.
Everybody. See that? So that's what he's saying. Everybody, no matter who you are, praise the Lord. See? So people are commanded to praise God. But we find out they don't praise God. Or they don't know who God is. Or they act as though God does not exist. You see? And the fact is, the only way God could ever be talking about the idea of satisfying God or having him be pleased, there was only one way that could ever be done. Once Adam fell into sin and only a perpetuation of sinners were born, which is all you have on all the earth. Why? Because it's a part of human nature once men fell into sin. So now God is the only one who can set the standard of what will it take to fix the problem.
That's right. Amen.
No one else can do it. Why? Because our judgment is tainted. We don't even know what holy is. You see, not like God does. There was a time when Adam was innocent, we would say.
Yes.
He and Eve, while they were there in a pristine environment that was totally holy. And it amazes me all the time, and some people also are amazed when you mention that the tree that God made, there was nothing wrong with the tree.
Nothing.
It was a holy tree. It was righteous. It was just like everything else he made.
Yes, it was.
It was in a pristine environment. Everything was perfect. There was no flaw in it. No. So how can a person who is holy and a tree which is holy produce sin? That's the question. Mm-hmm. And the answer is through disobedience. See what I mean? Now God said, you shall not eat. Once he made a law, the one law he made was you shall not eat of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Sin came in because you violated what my law was.
Mm-hmm.
Not because the tree was disholy or not holy or unholy, as we would say.
Yes.
Not because you are not holy. You are holy because I made you holy. See, made the tree holy. The whole creation was holy.
Whole creation.
And so what was the problem? The problem is the one law that God made, which was you shall not eat, was broken. That's what plunged the whole creation, mankind, and everything, the heavens, everything God had made was corrupted with Adam's sin because of disobedience.
Amen.
See, and the fruit he ate, was there anything wrong with it? No, not really. The fruit was beautiful. Nothing wrong with that fruit. We don't know what it was, but it was holy. God made it. The transgression was not in the fruit.
That's right.
The transgression was in the mind of the person who said, I'm going to eat it, and God told me don't do it.
That's right.
Now he did it because his wife was deceived by the enemy. She was told that it's going to be a blessing in it when you do it, and it's going to have some benefits that he didn't tell you about.
Amen.
And since he didn't tell you, so she was getting into mystery and stuff she didn't know, and she thought, well, it looks good to me. Why? Because it is good.
Mm-hmm.
It smells good. Everything about this tree seems all right to me. That's what the devil told her. But the problem was God said, don't do it.
Amen.
That was the problem. Not so much that there's anything wrong with the tree in and of itself.
Yeah.
So we talk about the primary nature of sin. How did sin come in? She was deceived. The devil told her, yeah, he's holding out on you. It made her question the character of God.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some stuff he don't want you to know, and when you eat that tree, you're going to find out. Yeah, we found out all right, didn't we?
Yes.
You see, now we got sin of every stripe running rampant through the world, all because of disobedience, but not because of her,
right?
But because of her husband. He
yes.
took and also did eat because he was with her, and he, for whatever reason, we don't know. We can only speculate about why did he eat. People have even asked me, preacher, what would happen if they hadn't eaten that tree? I tell them, I do not know. That's all I can tell you. I have no idea what would have happened. You know, if they didn't eat it, that would have been righteousness and holiness forever and ever. I can tell you that. Because
yes.
he said, don't eat it, and if you didn't, you'd still be blessed.
Right.
But we know they did eat it because look what we got.
Amen.
See, so I don't know what would have happened. No, I can't answer that. That's like ask the same thing the devil asked. Now you're getting into the unknown. See, I'm not able to tell you about the unknown except what God said, you know.
Amen.
And so we stay out of that area. But I want to call attention to that thought too later. But what I want you to see is everyone is called to praise God. Why? Because everyone ought to praise God.
Amen.
God is worthy to be praised.
Yes, he is.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and who? They who dwell therein. Who is that? All of y'all.
Everybody,
everywhere. See? So God ought to be praised because he made a habitat for us, gave it to us, put it under our feet, gave us dominion over it.
Oh, yes.
And then we allow Satan to creep in. And so that's why we see so much of different types of things out of order in our time. So God is always worthy to be praised. That's the one thing I want to start with here today. The Jews, God's chosen people, were called to enjoy a special fellowship and intimacy with God not known or embraced by other people on the earth, or Gentiles, as we would say. Therefore, it was through them that God sent his word. See that? And set them as an example to display all to all the people. God picked the Jews, called them out, sent them to be an example to all the people of the world how it is to be a child of God and to be a positive influence as a way of evangelizing others. God wanted to pull the people out of the mix of all the people. And you see, that's exactly the way it went. The first time when God allowed Adam and Eve to go on, they went into deeper and deeper sin. We see the first murder in the book of Genesis. Mm-hmm. A brother murdering his brother.
Yes.
See? And it goes on. You start to see polygamy. You start to see all kinds of other sin. If you keep reading through there, you find out it gets as far as all kinds of stuff is going on there. People stealing, slavery, all kinds of stuff comes up as a result of sin. And that was all before the flood. People are seizing properties and getting greedy. You see all kinds of stuff in there. If you read it, that's what happened when sin was allowed to take hold of the world. It ends up, by the time you get to chapter 6, God saying that every imagination and the thought of man's heart was only evil continually. See? So the mind ends up getting stuck on evil at some point.
Yes.
Then it goes from bad to worse, and we've seen some terrible examples of it in our time. You know, where evil gets into a culture, next thing you know, you have 20-year-old anorexics going in, shooting their mother, then proceeding on to the school, killing 25-year-olds, and then blowing out their own brains. That's a horrible thing to think of.
Yes.
But that shows you how far sin will go. You see, and that's just one thing. I mean, we've heard of some things even worse. You have 80-year-old people who are locked in prison luring 20-year-olds to marry them after they've been on death row for 70 years. You know, folks like Manson, and whose brain is way twisted, killed up a bunch of people, been up for parole 12 times, and now he's getting married to a 20-year-old. Okay, wow. You know, you look at a lot of stuff like that, and you see that sin knows no limits.
No.
We could go on and on, and I'm not going to sit here and bore you today with the news. You see the evil news every day.
Yeah.
You see stuff like Ferguson and cops shooting 18-year-olds who are unarmed and blowing them down in cold blood in the middle of the street.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the Wild Wild West. You got all kinds of stuff going on. You know, that's just evil. It shows you the evil fruit of sin.
Yes.
And it keeps on. But in Genesis 6, getting back to the word, he said there that God saw that the wickedness in the earth was great, and every imagination and the thought of their heart was only evil continually.
Yes.
So evil gets in and it manifests and takes over you.
Yes, it will.
So you need somebody. That's why you need to be saved. You need to have God move in to check you on your evil.
Amen.
Every one of us. You know, because if God had moved in, he wouldn't be checking me. And some of the stuff you think about, you would probably do it.
Yes.
I think about the stuff even with God being there that you do that you shouldn't do. We the stuff that we do, and God checks you and you do it anyway. So imagine how we would be if there was no Spirit of God in our life.
Yes.
See? So we have to be careful. But God doesn't want anybody to be in evil. He wants to deliver you from it. And that's what we call salvation, is God bringing you out of the tendencies that we naturally have as a result of being fallen. So God is, he knew that if I don't, first he had to wipe the whole world out in the days of Noah. But he preserved 8 souls, brought them safely through the flood. And shortly after the flood, sin got busy again. And they kept right on up to chapter 11, and they decided they worshiped the host of heaven. And God says, because they all speak the same language, can't let it be this way, or else it's going to go right back down the hole like it did before. It's going to get back like it was in the new regeneration.
Yes.
And God had already promised, I will not destroy the world with water anymore. Put a bow in the clouds, if you will, to show this is a symbol of my covenant with the earth, that I will never destroy it again with water. See, but Peter tells us the next one is scheduled to be destroyed with fire.
That's right. Amen.
Okay. He says it's going to be fire next time, not water. Okay, but understand this, and don't let that scare you, because you shouldn't be scared. If you're a child of God, you do not have to worry about the destruction that's coming up on the world. That's why I love that Psalm 91 that we read earlier.
Yes.
He will deliver you from all that. God says he will. And so, but then what God did is, you see, after he tells you who the nations are, over there in Genesis chapter 8 through 11 and on up to 12, you see in chapter 12, God separating Israel. He calls Abraham out of the Gentiles.
Yes.
And he says, I'm going to make you a great nation and bless all the families of the earth in your seed. So the gospel has always been a universal message to all the families of the earth.
Amen.
See, even when there were no Jews. So when we come to Psalm 117 and it says, all you nations, we shouldn't be surprised. That's what God was saying in Genesis 12. That I'm going to bless all the families of the earth through your seed. And here we see the psalmist generations later saying that, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people.
Yes.
See that? For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and his truth, the truth of the Lord, endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. See that? And so we constantly see God reaching out to all the nations all the time. Even though he sanctified a people to give his word, he had a lot of reasons. We studied them in Romans when we were in chapter 3 and chapter 9, that God separated the Jews so he would have a people who were being checked about their sin.
Yes.
They were being checked by his word. They didn't have the indwelling spirit, but the spirit was in and out among them.
Amen.
And the word of God is spirit, the Bible says.
Amen.
John 6 and 63 says that basically that the words that I speak to you, they are spirit, Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
And they are life. So that's why they were told to meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. Keep the word in your mind, and the spirit of the word will be in your heart to guide you and to lead you.
Yes.
Trust in the Lord, they were told in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't go with the way you think things out.
Yes. Yes.
But in all your ways, acknowledge me, he says, and I will direct your path.
That's right.
Back a few lessons, we looked at the Psalter. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly,
mm-hmm,
or stand in the way of sinners. Those,
yes,
are people who don't believe, trust God, or have any influence by his word, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But
yes,
you delight yourself in my law day and night, and you shall be like a tree. God always told you, in my word is your security.
That's right.
You trust in me, you'll be like a tree. You will not be moved. You know, I'm there with you even in trouble, as he said in that psalm. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. I am your shepherd. You shall not want. God was telling them. He was feeding them with the fact that I am your protector. I am your savior. I'm here for you. And so basically he called out Israel to plant that word in them, and also through them to bring forth Messiah that he had planned even from the foundation of the world. That will be through the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ, my son, will be born. And as Paul said to the Galatians in chapter 4, verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son.
Yes.
He was made under the law, born of a woman, he says there.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the virgin birth of Christ.
Yes.
Now even stuff like that, that's a little mystery tucked away in the word that squares with science. And we're going to be talking about that as we approach Christmas. That God knew that the way he designed the woman. Now, we have to see this. I'm just going to take you all here, because I looked at all this and I said, well, we need to look at this. Something you need to know. Let's go to Genesis.
Amen.
Here real quick, and we'll take time.
Yes.
Just a few of us here today, but we hope to export this message.
Amen.
And we have talked about it before, but I just want you to see it again today in the context of this lesson. That if God is satisfied or pleased, what about you?
Amen.
Should you not be pleased? Should you not be satisfied? Or is there something else you think is bigger and badder than God that you ought to be concerned about?
Mm-hmm.
That's my question. I just want to implant that thought in your mind. Notice this here in Genesis. Let's go to chapter. Let's take a look in. Let's see. I guess we have to go to chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. We talked about this just for a minute, but we're going to just expound on it here a little bit.
Amen.
In Genesis 2, notice what it says here. Let's read a little bit from verse 7. Genesis 2 and 7, and the Lord God formed of the dust of the ground. He says he formed, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. See that? And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed.
Yes.
See that? And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life, see that, in the midst of the garden. Notice this, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, so that tree is good, right? It's holy because God made it. And he put them both out there in the garden. Notice on verse number 10. And a river that went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became four heads. This river split into fourths after it left the garden. Four different rivers. The first one is Pison, and it is that which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And you see all these elements here. And gold that is in the land is good, and there is molybdenum and onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, and it is that that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. See that? That's going down toward Africa. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, and that is it. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. You see these nations here that I mentioned? These nations are still in the news right now. And the fourth river is Euphrates, the river Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. See, so work is holy. God put him there to do work, and there's nothing wrong with work. If you think, oh, my job is a curse, well, go back and rethink that. It's holy. This was done even before there's any sin, right? So God put him to work, and work is a good thing, right? Now notice verse 16. That's just a side point. We ain't going to stick on that one too long. Verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, now here's the first commandment, okay? He commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it.
Yes.
For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So that's the first command that's ever been done. That's law, the beginning of law. Right there.
Yes.
Now notice this. And the Lord God, notice verse 18 very carefully. One of the most powerful and ones you are. This blows my mind, verse 18. It ought to blow yours. And the Lord said, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone.
Mm-hmm.
I will make him an help meet for him.
Yes.
So this is something not good even with no sin. There's no sin yet.
That's right.
But it's not good that the man should be alone. See? Now, think about that. Well, that's deep to me when you think on that. There's no sin, but here's something that's not good. The first thing that's not good in the Word. There's no sin yet.
Yes.
But it's something here that's not good. It's not good that the man should be alone. Now, notice what it says. God says, I'm going to make a helper suitable for him. And out of the ground, he goes on to say, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. So that's some of the work he did. I want to talk about his resume. He was a genealogist who was naming the names of animals and giving them names. And that's where he came up with all those things, Canis lupus and stuff we start calling animals by their gender. The Charadrius vociferous and all kinds of things. He had probably pretty deep vocabulary. I don't know. I'm just going on all those names of these animals that you see. And all that canis, the canine and all these kind of things that still exist. Adam called every living creature, whatsoever he called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, all the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. For Adam there was not found an help suitable for him. See, there's nobody out of all those things suitable for man.
Yes.
And the Lord God caused a deep sleep. This is anesthesia, we would say today, to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And we read that, we don't think anything of it, but here it is right here in Genesis, anesthesia. It doesn't say that. But God caused a deep sleep to fall upon him. See that? And took one of his ribs. We would call that surgery, wouldn't we?
Yes.
See, you want to talk about some cloning. You know, this is nothing new to God. We're talking about a righteous, holy God. And he took his rib and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. Now, is there any cloning in there? Maybe. Possibly. We don't know. But let's just not think about it right now. Let's move along. And he bought her. Now we have another gender unto the man. So what did he need? He needed her. Why don't we know that today? As a country, why does he need he and she need she
all
today?
Right. Amen.
What God made that was suitable was he needed her.
Yes.
Okay. That's what it says, right? This is the word of God. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So God's solution to it's not good that the man should be alone was to make woman.
Woman.
See? And I'm not belaboring that point here this morning, but I just want you to see when he did it, this is what I want you to really see, that in his mind, he knew how the female anatomy would be different than that of a man. He knew that the woman would carry Adam's seed and not contribute blood to it. So when he did it, he made a doorway through which he could be born of a virgin when the fullness of time was come, when he would send forth his son, the verse we quoted earlier, Galatians 4:4. God was planning it in Genesis 1 and chapter 22. See? And so God planned a way that he could become flesh without becoming a sinner. That's why it's not good that man should be alone.
Amen.
He did this while Eve was spotless and holy, before there was any sin. He made a gateway to become flesh without becoming a sinner. And that's what he meant when he said it's not good that man should be alone. See? Because he knew that man would be completely alone if he didn't have a way to be redeemed.
All right.
Because he had planned to take on flesh, which we call incarnation. See, God was planning the incarnation before the foundation of the world. The Bible says Christ was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So it was no surprise to God what was about to happen.
Yes.
But God had already made a way to enter the flesh without being a sinner. Wow. He did that right here.
Amen.
See, so you need to put that in your Christmas verses. You see, because God was preparing a gift for the world. He made a way he could become flesh before sin corrupted mankind. And this is another thing here. I just want you to see that. So now notice what it says. Now moving on, I want to finish this Genesis here. He says in verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. Now you could say that's prophecy, father and mother. There hasn't been one yet at this point in the narrative. No one has been a father or a mother except God has been a father and he has created a woman.
Yes.
There has been no one born.
Yes.
And he shall cleave to his wife. Matrimony has been set up. And they shall be one flesh. See that? Mm-hmm. So that's what God ordained. That's what's holy. That's what's righteous. That's why that's what's assaulted today in our republic. It's assaulted by people saying we want two men, two women. Because you really don't really want to be right. You just want to desecrate that which is holy that God has made.
That's it.
That God ordained. Now notice this one, and we'll read this also. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Okay? No shame in their game, if you will. See? And so what I want you to see there is God was planning salvation for the whole world. Sin doesn't enter until the next chapter when the serpent comes in. But God has already set up an entrance into the world in order that he might redeem man from their sin. Because otherwise, man would be completely alone. And God wouldn't even be able to help you. Because God requires death and the shedding of blood for the remission of sin.
Amen.
See, and so he was making a way he could take on flesh. That's why another important point, and I just want to mention, and we'll talk more about this in future lessons. It says God so loved the world that he gave his who?
Only
begotten. Oh, I got you. Jesus is the only begotten. Why? Because he's the only one that was born of a woman. Adam was not born. So he's making a distinction between the one he created and the one who was born.
Yes.
The only begotten Son of God. He was begotten just like you and I. Mm-hmm. Except you and I were begotten by another sinner, like Adam. Mm-hmm. See, but Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin, and he came forth with no sin as a result of that, and God designed it in Genesis. Powerful thought. Okay, so this is the message to the whole world. God sanctified the Jews to pass that message down. Now, God is always working in the birth process throughout the whole Bible. You'll notice it if you take time and notice. For example, and I'm just going to give the example because this really isn't our message today. Go to the website and look up a message called Anticipation of a Special Son, and you can get more details online. It's online, Anticipation of a Special Son. God was always anticipating the birth of Christ. He was setting it up in the life of the Jews. Even before the Jews, this is a pre-Judaism here. This is from the foundation of the world. God was setting everything in order to bring the special son that into the world. Because the first thing he pronounced when man fell into sin is Genesis 3:15. He told a serpent, upon your belly shalt you go, and dust shalt you eat all the days of your life, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman. See that? And between thy seed and her seed. Her seed is only about a virgin birth.
Yes.
The Jews were anticipating that virgin birth until they rejected Messiah. Then they wanted to say, we weren't really looking for a virgin birth. Yes, you were. All those years, all the way from Moses, you were looking for a virgin birth because God told you it would be in the seed of the woman that the serpent would be destroyed. The seed of the serpent, which is sin. See that? Genesis 3:15. Soon as sin came, God pronounced the virgin birth. Genesis 3:15. And said that he will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. That speaks of Calvary when Jesus was crucified on the cross. And he told it to the serpent. The serpent didn't understand. It's like, what? What did he say? He never got it. He didn't even understand that when he crucified Christ, it says in 1 Corinthians, it said if he had known what would happen, then he would not have crucified the Lord of glory, is what it says. So Satan didn't get it. He was the first one to get the news, last one to understand it. See, but we won't talk about that today. That's a deep subject. But now notice on here, we want to move along here. Notice in Colossians what Paul promises here. He says, I want you to see for it please the Father. Understand that. You might want to draw a little circle around that. For it pleased the Father that in him, speaking of Christ, should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, that's Christ, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. That shows you that there were things corrupted in earth and things in heaven. Because they need to be reconciled. Christ does it. And that you, speaking of us, Jews and Gentiles. This is Paul writing. He's writing Colossians who were Gentiles. He himself having been a Jew, converted to Christianity. And you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. See that? So God made peace here with man in the body of his flesh, speaking of Christ, when he was incarnated through death, allowed him to taste death for every man. Yes. Why? To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. In other words, the devil can't have an accusation that will stand against you at God's just bar because of your faith in Christ. So that's what God was doing with the incarnation, as you can see, as we have connected it to Genesis. Now notice, if ye continue in the faith, continue to trust Christ, grounded and settled. That means don't be moved away from your trust in the gospel. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, he goes on to say, which ye have heard and which was preached to you. It was preached to every creature under heaven. God wants all people to be saved. Whereof I, Paul, he's saying, he's probably amazed when he writes it. I, Paul, of all people, me, the one who was against the church, am made a minister. See that? Who, he says, now notice, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. I'll take whatever I have to take to get this message to you. No matter how much it hurts me, no matter what they do to me, this is important.
Yes, amen.
First, I was coming to hurt you because you had the message.
That's right.
But now, I don't care if they hurt me. I'm coming to bring this message to as many as I can. They can hurt me and I'm going through. You see that? And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. In other words, I'll take a beating because it's not going to be anything compared to what he went through. So if I need to be beaten, and they're not beating me because I'm anything, but they're beating me because I represent him. That's what he means. It's not that he's adding anything to what Christ did. He's just saying because I represent Christ, I'm going to be afflicted. And I'm ready to take it.
Amen.
So I can get more of you who God wants to save in the kingdom. So that's what he means when he says I'm filling up the afflictions of Christ in my flesh. Because people are now whooping me and beating me because I'm telling them Diana of the Ephesians is an idol and cannot save you.
Yes.
And you need Christ.
Amen.
I'm telling you that whatever it is you worship, Buddha, Allah, anything else, will not save you. You need Christ. And I come against you in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes. Really, I'm coming for you. I'm not coming against you. Satan already got you hooked up in that lie. And I come with the truth of Christ.
That's it.
And if you don't like it, just do what you got to do. But I must tell you the truth of Christ, no matter what you say.
Yes.
See that? And I'll take the blows. If you're mad at me, go ahead and hit me. You know, yes. Because I have to tell you the Christ, about the Christ. I have to discharge my responsibility to God. You don't have a heaven or hell to put me in. There's one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I got to preach him no matter what. See that?
Yes.
So his devotion has flipped 180 degrees from where it was when he was Saul of Tarsus. Now he's writing Gentiles, Colossians here. Notice that. Verse number 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. See that? To fulfill the word of God.
Yes.
Now he says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest in his saints. Go ahead, Brother Dotson. The truth has been made manifest. See that? God has come into the flesh. His son has been crucified. He has been buried. He has risen. His tomb was empty. And he ascended into heaven 40 days later. See, that's all been done. The truth of it has been made reality. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes. He has come and fulfilled what he promised.
Amen.
He, and it's been manifested to the saints. Who are saints? Holy ones. Hagiori, the Greek, is those who believe. They're set apart unto faith and believe. In other words, were set apart to be declared holy by God. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, so God was always planning to save all the nations, as we saw in Psalm 117. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations.
Yes.
Praise ye, all ye people. See that? Praise him, all ye people. For his mercy and kindness is toward all of us, we could say. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord.
Yes.
You see how that Psalm 117 fits with this. Now notice this, he says, whom we preach. He's talking about Christ, whom we preach, warning every man. It is a warning because no one else can save you but Jesus.
But Jesus.
So I need to tell you, if it offends you, I'm sorry, but it's the truth.
Amen.
The truth will make you free, yes. Jesus said. And teaching every man. Once you learn Christ, we need to teach you the deep things of Christ. In all wisdom that we may present every man. That's our goal because God told us do it. Go into all the world and teach all the nations. And to even to a perfect man in Christ Jesus. That's what God wants. Wherefore, he says, whereunto I am also laboring, striving according to his working, which worketh mightily in me. See that? So God is still working on me.
Me too.
So the finished work of Christ, Jesus Christ on the cross, has satisfied God the Father entirely. There's nothing else that satisfies God entirely.
Nothing else.
Nothing at all but Christ.
My Lord.
So you could say the whole fate of the whole world, just as God gave it all, dominion to Adam, is now fulfilled in Christ.
Yes.
And God is completely satisfied by him.
Thank you, Jesus.
He made perfect peace between God and sinful mankind. Therefore, because Christ Jesus has his own free will, think that one through. He was a man. He could have done anything he wanted. He had his own free will. He has taken the penalty for our sin debt of all people who believe in him. He won't be paying the debt for people who don't believe in him, only those who do. Thus declaring all of them clean in the sight of God. Everyone who believes in them is declared clean.
Yes.
In the sight of God. That means if you trust Christ, that's the only way you can be right. And God is entirely satisfied with him. But if you do, you are declared by God clean. That means free from all sin. You are just as holy as Adam was before he ate the fruit.
Thank you, Jesus.
Even more holy because God will never let that happen again. Sin will never take over everything again.
Yes.
Once it's done away with and the whole thing is reconciled by Christ, it'll be delivered back up to God. Death will be dealt a death blow.
Yes.
Will not exist again and it'll never rise again.
Follow.
So we'll be in a better situation than Adam was when salvation is total and complete. Now notice this. Also, as we continue, those who believe in him, he declares you clean in the sight of God, and each of the ones who trust him alone by faith are in right standing with God in a state known as salvation by grace alone.
Yes.
It's not because of anything we do. It's because of what Christ did already in your faith and your trust in him. Now, is that a license to sin? No. You will find out if you believe it that it'll make you tend toward holiness.
Yes, it will.
You'll want holiness more than anything else because you understand that God gives it. He gives righteousness and holiness.
Yes, he does.
So in many ways, the church is now following in the steps of the Jews. This is bad news. Their failure to share the truth about this truth with the lost for the right biblical reasons and with the correct biblical attitude is slipping in the time we live in. People are talking health, wealth, and prosperity. They're trying to collect money. They're worshiping God rather than... They're worshiping money rather than God is what I'm trying to say. I'm getting my thoughts twisted up. And so there's a lot of bad reasoning going on in things that say that they're the church. And so this is a warning. That's why Paul says we are warning every man and teaching every man. Those who want to be taught, we're teaching. The ones who need a warning, we're warning. You're on the wrong track.
Amen.
You need to get back right.
Yes.
People are walking in arrogance rather than humility.
Yes.
see it all the time, walking around with an arrogant attitude about who they are instead of humbly walking with God. You see that all the time. They're showing evidence of dissatisfaction with Christ alone.
Yes.
You know, people can't tell you that you should be satisfied with Christ alone. And a lot of that is influenced by money and pride and prestige.
Yes, it is.
And wanting people to look up to you instead of looking over to Christ and seeing ourselves as equal.
Amen.
You see that? And doesn't mean our gifts are equal or our callings are equal, but it does mean that we have some form of equality in the fact that all of us are saved by God's grace through faith.
Amen.
And that alone. And God is only satisfied with Christ. He's not more satisfied with me because I'm a minister. That's just a calling that he put on my life. You see that? And you have a calling on your life to be whoever you are and do whatever you do. So being divided among ourselves in denominations, this is the stuff people do. Not walking in an exemplary manner by adorning the doctrine of God. In other words, you live it out. Don't just preach it. Live it out. And I know none of us do that perfectly, but we're called to adorn the doctrine of God. Put it on. Wear it like clothes. You know, like you adorn yourself is what that means, to dress up in it. Dress yourself up in the behavior that God has called you to. And none of us do this perfectly. I guarantee you we all have flaws.
Yes.
But the fact is, that's where your heart is set. You set your heart on it. And that's to walk in an exemplary manner, operating in a materialistic manner rather than showing good stewardship. We should be using the funds that we collect for God in a way that promotes this gospel getting out to people, because that's what God's desire is.
Amen.
So if God is pleased with Christ, what about you?
What about you?
Hopefully you are too.
Yes.
Amen. And we thank God for your attention, and we hope that this lesson has been a blessing to you.
Ooh, yes, it has.
This morning.
Yes.
Amen. We're going to offer an extension for salvation to anyone who may not have affirmed in your heart that you are saved. If you would like to be saved, we want you to be saved.
Yes, we do.
Because God loves you just as you are. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
Yes.
"Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Why is it easy? Because he pulled the whole load all by himself.
Yes, he did.
In order to give you salvation entirely by his grace alone.
Yes.
That's the only way you can have it. You can't work for it. You cannot earn it. You do not deserve it. No one does. But you can only receive it as a free gift.
That's it.
That's why the songwriter said, "Nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling." Because it's only at the cross that God dealt with your sin.
Yes.
So if you trust him today and you are not saved, we want to give you an invitation at this time to come to Jesus. Amen.
Amen.